Chapter 84. Shall I introduce him? Asked Jobling. I shall be eternally delighted, answered Tig, kissing his hand and smiling sweetly. The doctor disappeared into the outer office, and immediately returned with Jonas Chuzzlewit. Mr. Montague, said Jobling. Allow me. My friend Mr. Chuzzlewit. My dear friend our chairman. Now do you know, he added, checking himself with infinite policy, and looking round with a smile, that's a very singular instance of the force of example. It really is a very remarkable instance of the force of example. I say our chairman. Why do I say our chairman? Because he is not my chairman, you know. I have no connection with the company, farther than giving them, for a certain fee and reward, my poor opinion as a medical man, precisely as I may give it any day to Jack Noakes or Tom Stiles. Then why do I say our chairman? Simply because I hear the phrase constantly repeated about me. Such is the involuntary operation of the mental faculty in the imitative biped man. Mr. Crimple, I believe you never take snuff? Injudicious. You should. Pending these remarks on the part of the doctor, and the lengthened, unsonorous pinch with which he followed them up, Jonas took a seat at the board, as ungainly a man as ever he has been within the reader's knowledge. It is too common with all of us, but it is especially in the nature of a mean mind, to be overawed by fine clothes and fine furniture. They had a very decided influence on Jonas. Now you two gentlemen have business to discuss, I know, said the doctor, and your time is precious. So is mine, for several lives are waiting for me in the next room, and I have a round of visits to make after I have taken them. Having had the happiness to introduce you to each other, I may go about my business. Goodbye. But allow me, Mr. Montague, before I go, to say this of my friend who sits beside you. That gentleman has done more, sir, rapping his snuff box solemnly, to reconcile me to human nature, than any man alive or dead. Goodbye. With these words, Jobling bolted abruptly out of the room, and proceeded in his own official department, to impress the lives in waiting with a sense of his keen conscientiousness in the discharge of his duty, and the great difficulty of getting into the Anglo-Bengali, by feeling their pulses, looking at their tongues, listening at their ribs, poking them in the chest, and so forth. Though, if he didn't well know beforehand that, whatever kind of lives they were, the Anglo-Bengali would accept them readily, he was far from being the Jobling that his friend considered him, and was not the original Jobling, but a spurious imitation. Mr. Crimple also departed on the business of the morning, and Jonas Chuzzlewit and Tig were left alone. I learn from our friend, said Tig, drawing his chair towards Jonas with a winning ease of manner, that you have been thinking, Ecod then he'd no right to say so, cried Jonas, interrupting. I didn't tell him my thoughts. If he took it into his head that I was coming here for such or such a purpose, why, that's his lookout. I don't stand committed by that. Jonas said this offensively enough. For over and above the habitual distrust of his character, it was in his nature to seek to revenge himself on the fine clothes and the fine furniture, in exact proportion as he had been unable to withstand their influence. If I come here to ask a question or two, and get a document or two to consider of, I don't bind myself to anything. Let's understand that, you know, said Jonas. My dear fellow, cried Tig, clapping him on the shoulder, I applaud your frankness. If men like you and I speak openly at first, all possible misunderstanding is avoided. Why should I disguise what you know so well, but what the crowd never dream of? We companies are all birds of prey, mere birds of prey. The only question is, whether in serving our own turn, we can serve yours too. Whether in double lining our own nest, we can put a single living into yours. Oh, you're in our secret. You're behind the scenes. We'll make a merit of dealing plainly with you when we know we can't help it. Apostrophe, it was remarked on the first introduction of Mr. Jonas into these pages that there is a simplicity of cunning no less than a simplicity of innocence, and that in all matters involving a faith and knavery, he was the most credulous of men. If Mr. Tigg had preferred any claim to high and honorable dealing, Jonas would have suspected him, though he had been a very model of probity. But when he gave utterance to Jonas's own thoughts of everything and everybody, Jonas began to feel that he was a pleasant fellow, and one to be talked to freely. He changed his position in the chair, not for a less awkward, but for a more boastful attitude, and smiling in his miserable conceit rejoined, "You and a bad man of business, Mr. Montague. You know how to set about it, I will say." Apostrophe, tut, tut, apostrophe, said Tigg, nodding confidentially, and showing his white teeth. "We are not children, Mr. Chuzzlewit. We are grown men, I hope." Apostrophe, Jonas assented, and said after a short silence, first spreading out his legs, and sticking one arm akimbo to show how perfectly at home he was, "The truth is, apostrophe, don't say the truth, apostrophe," interposed Tigg, with another grin. "It's so like humbug." Apostrophe, greatly charmed by this, Jonas began again. "The long and the short of it is, apostrophe, better, apostrophe," muttered Tigg. "Much better. Apostrophe, apostrophe, that I didn't consider myself very well used by one or two of the old companies in some negotiations I have had with them once had, I mean. They started objections they had no right to start, and put questions they had no right to put, and carried things much too high for my taste." Apostrophe, as he made these observations he cast down his eyes, and looked curiously at the carpet. Mr. Tigg looked curiously at him. He made so long a pause, that Tigg came to the rescue, and said, in his pleasantest manner, "Take a glass of wine." Apostrophe, "No, no, apostrophe," returned Jonas, with a cunning shake of the head. "None of that, thank ye. No wine over business. All very well for you, but it wouldn't do for me." Apostrophe, "What an old hand you are, Mr. Chuzzlewit." Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Tigg, leaning back in his chair, and leering at him through his half-shut eyes. Jonas shook his head again, as much as to say, "You're right there, apostrophe," and then resumed, jocosely, "Not such an old hand either, but that I've been and got married. That's rather green, you'll say. Perhaps it is, especially as she's young. But one never knows what may happen to these women, so I'm thinking of insuring her life. It is but fair, you know, that a man should secure some consolation in case of meeting with such a loss." Apostrophe, if anything can console him under such heartbreaking circumstances, apostrophe, murmured Tigg, with his eyes shut up as before. "Exactly, apostrophe," returned Jonas, "if anything can. Now, supposing I did it here, I should do it cheap, I know, and easy, without bothering her about it, which I'd much rather not do, for it's just in a woman's way to take it into her head, if you talk to her about such things, that she's going to die directly." Apostrophe, so it is, apostrophe, cried Tigg, kissing his hand in honor of the sex. "You're quite right. Sweet, silly, fluttering little simpletons." Apostrophe, well, apostrophe, said Jonas, "on that account, you know, and because offense has been given me in other quarters, I wouldn't mind patronizing this company. But I want to know what sort of security there is for the companies going on." "That's the apostrophe, not the truth?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Tigg, holding up his jeweled hand. "Don't use that Sunday school expression, please. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the long and the short of it, apostrophe, said Jonas. The long and the short of it is, what's the security? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the paid up capital, my dear sir, apostrophe, said Tigg, referring to some papers on the table, is, at this present moment, apostrophe, oh, I understand all about paid up capitals, you know, apostrophe, said Jonas. You do? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Tig, stopping short. I should hope so. Apostrophe, he turned the papers down again, and moving nearer to him, said in his ear. I know you do. I know you do. Look at me. Apostrophe, it was not much in Jonas's way to look straight at anybody, but thus requested, he made shift to take a tolerable survey of the chairman's features. The chairman fell back a little, to give him a better opportunity. You know me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he inquired, elevating his eyebrows. You recollect? You've seen me before? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, I thought I remembered your face, when I first came in, apostrophe, said Jonas, gazing at it, but I couldn't call to mind where I had seen it. No, I don't remember, even now. Was it in the street? Apostrophe, was it in Pecksniff's parlor? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Tig, in Pecksniff's parlor. Apostrophe, apostrophe, echoed Jonas, fetching a long breath. You don't mean when apostrophe, yes, apostrophe, cried Tig, when there was a very charming and delightful little family party, at which yourself and your respected father assisted. Apostrophe, well, never mind him, apostrophe, said Jonas. He's dead, and there's no help for it. Apostrophe, dead, is he? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Tig, venerable old gentleman, is he dead? You're very like him. Apostrophe, Jonas received this compliment with anything but a good grace, perhaps because of his own private sentiments in reference to the personal appearance of his deceased parent, perhaps because he was not best pleased to find that Montague and Tig were one. That gentleman perceived it, and tapping him familiarly on the sleeve, beckoned him to the window. From this moment, Mr. Montague's jocularity and flow of spirits were remarkable. Do you find me at all changed since that time? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he asked. Speak plainly. Apostrophe, Jonas looked hard at his waistcoat and jewels, and said rather, ecod. Apostrophe, apostrophe, was I at all seedy in those days? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Montague. Precious seedy, apostrophe, said Jonas. Mr. Montague pointed down into the street, where Bailey and the cab were in attendance. Neat, perhaps dashing. Do you know whose it is? Apostrophe, no. Apostrophe, mine. Do you like this room? Apostrophe, it must have cost a lot of money, apostrophe, said Jonas. You're right. Mine too. Why don't you, he whispered this, and nudged him in the side with his elbow, why don't you take premiums, instead of paying them? That's what a man like you should do. Join us. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Jonas stared at him in amazement. Is that a crowded street? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Montague, calling his attention to the multitude without. Very, apostrophe, said Jonas, only glancing at it, and immediately afterwards looking at him again. There are printed calculations, apostrophe, said his companion, which will tell you pretty nearly how many people will pass up and down that thoroughfare in the course of a day. I can tell you how many of them will come in here, merely because they find this office here, knowing no more about it than they do of the pyramids. Ha, ha. Join us. You shall come in cheap. Apostrophe, Jonas looked at him harder and harder. I can tell you, apostrophe, said Tig in his ear, how many of them will buy annuities, effect insurances, bring us their money in 100 shapes and ways, force it upon us, trust us as if we were the mint, yet know no more about us than you do of that crossing sweeper at the corner. Not so much. Ha, ha. Apostrophe, Jonas gradually broke into a smile. Yeah. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Montague, giving him a pleasant thrust in the breast. You're too deep for us, you dog, or I wouldn't have told you. Dine with me tomorrow, in Pall Mall. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I will, said Jonas. Done. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Montague. Wait a bit. Take these papers with you, and look them over. See, apostrophe, he said, snatching some printed forms from the table. B is a little tradesman, clerk, person, artist, author, any common thing you like. Apostrophe, yes, apostrophe, said Jonas, looking greedily over his shoulder. Well, apostrophe, be one say loan. Say 50 or 100 pounds, perhaps more, no matter. B proposes self and two securities. B is accepted. Two securities give a bond. B assures his own life for double the amount, and brings two friends' lives also, just to patronize the office. Ha ha, ha. Is that a good notion? Apostrophe, ecod, that's a capital notion. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Jonas. But does he really do it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, do it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, repeated the chairman. B's hard up, my good fellow, and will do anything. Don't you see? It's my idea. Apostrophe, it does you honor. I'm blessed if it don't, apostrophe, said Jonas. I think it does, apostrophe, replied the chairman, and I'm proud to hear you say so. B pays the highest lawful interest, apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.